ಓಮ ಜ್ಞಾನತಿ ನಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ಮೀಲಿತಮೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಗ್ರಹಾಯ ಪರಮಂ ಗೃಹ್ಯಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮ ಸಂಗೀತಂ ಯತ್ವಯೋಕ್ತಂ ವಚಸ್ತೇನ ಮೋಹವ್ಯಂ ವಿಗತೋ ನಮಃ. Arjuna said, by my hearing the instructions you have kindly given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been dispelled. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna Katha. There are two kinds of Krishna Katha. One is Krishnasya Katha, another is Krishna Vishaya Katha. Krishnasya Katha is that which is spoken directly by Krishna, instructions he gives, especially in Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna Vishaya Katha is that which is spoken about Krishna. Just like the Srimad Bhagavatam is mostly descriptions of Krishna, his different incarnations, how he creates, maintains, and destroys the material world, how he exists in the spiritual world. This is all given in a nutshell in the Bhagavad Gita and expanded upon in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is all auspicious, Krishna Katha. Life is meant for Krishna Katha, speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna. So this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has very kindly spoken through Arjuna to the whole world. Actually Arjuna, he's already a liberated soul, pure devotee of Krishna. Whenever Krishna comes in any material universe, Arjuna is always present with him. He is his eternal associate. And Arjuna, wherever Krishna is there, there must be Arjuna. Yatra Yogeshwara Hari, Yatra Bharata Dhanudhara. With Krishna, there is always his devotees. Krishna is not alone. Krishna always likes to be with his devotees. So Arjuna, he was apparently an illusion. But actually, he's a liberated soul, but he apparently became in some illusion. He was in the position of a conditioned soul like us. That means we are conditioned by Maya, by illusion, to think that I am this body. I am Italian, I am German, I am Indian, I'm a Brahmana, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a supporter of Congress, I'm a supporter of BJP. These are all bodily designations which have nothing to do with the eternal spirit soul. So Arjuna was put into this illusion just so that Krishna would have the opportunity to deliver his Bhagavad Gita systematically, scientifically. All the doubts that Arjuna had, they're typical doubts of the conditioned soul, that he is deliberating. What is the best thing for him to do? Without realizing that the best thing for him to do is simply to surrender to Krishna. He's thinking in terms of his own benefit, in terms of his body, in terms of his family members, in terms of his material position. Just like we see, people are very anxious. How I will improve my position? I will get a good job. Good job means you work like an ass, you cram inside the Bombay train, then you go in some nasty office, and you... Good job means you have an air conditioner in the office. While you're working like an ass, you can work like an air-conditioned ass. And then you come home. Good job. You have to work so many years in the university to get a degree. Then maybe you will get a good job. And we're thinking this is good. But what is really good is what is for our eternal benefit. Therefore, Arjuna, he is saying here, Mad anugrahaya paramam. You're being very kind to me at the highest level. What is kindness? Here, Arjuna is speaking about kindness. Let us be good to others. If you go to school, they will teach you should be good to others. And of course, when you come out of school, if you actually want to be successful, you learn all the real things about life, which they don't teach you at school. You may pick up a little bit about it, but when you get out to work, you'll learn the real things of life, like how to cheat and how to lie and how to do office politics and all these kinds of things. So we are taught, be good to others, be kind to others. But the world is, factually it's not like that. Especially in the modern age, especially Bombay, any big city. It's a rat race. Rat race means all the rats in human form, they are trying to get ahead of each other and put each other down. Smile at the person and in the meantime do some politics and get him thrown out of his job and take his job over and get ahead and be successful. So this kindness, be good to others, this is, of course we see people, they do charity, just like people in their business, they cheat, they lie, they steal. Jains put buffalo fat in the vegetarian dalda and so many different things. And then they give money in charity. We're building a hospital. When you get cancer from eating our dalda, which is full of buffalo fat, then you can go to the hospital. We'll give you a nice hospital. We'll be advertised as very charitable people. We're very charitable. We're very good. We're exploiting people. We're cheating people. And with a few leftover paisa, we throw a few coins, build a hospital, build a school. Oh, this is very good. We see people become very enthusiastic for building hospitals and schools. But if we ask them, please give some money for building a temple, they may think, well, maybe. Not so enthusiastic. They're more enthusiastic. Why? Because they're thinking in terms of the body. How we will, oh, such a good thing to build a hospital so that people, instead of dying in their home, they can die in some hospital with all tubes coming out of their body. And cardiographic machine showing like this, like this, like this. Okay. Throw his body out to the, if he's a Parsi, throw him to the vultures. Otherwise, if he's a Muslim or a Christian, bury him. And if he's a Hindu, burn. Anyway, but, oh, he died in a 5-star hospital. Very nice. Thank you. Died very comfortably. Thanks to the very charitable people who built a nice hospital. Thank you. So this is anugraha, kindness. But this is misplaced kindness. Simply for the value of the body, if we are kind, that is misplaced kindness. Of course, we're not saying that there should be no hospitals. We're not saying don't build hospitals. But we shouldn't think that this is the ultimate goal of life, the most wonderful thing. Practically speaking, we see the more hospitals you build, the more patients there are. And people, oh, there's a hospital. All right, I have a little pain in my thumb. Get admittance into the hospital immediately and go there for 7 days and have all tubes coming out of your body. And they did so many tests and we finally found out what's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Go home and take 7,000 rupees worth of medicine in the meantime. And if someone is very kind to you, you can get special half-rate medicine. All these different medicines to make you dull, and another one makes you lively, and another one makes your blood go faster, another one makes your blood go slower. Try this one. If it doesn't work, come back. You see, you go to the doctor, take this medicine. If it doesn't work, come back after 3 days. If I guess wrongly, I'll guess again and give you another medicine. I don't know what's wrong with you. Come back after 3 days. I've got so many different medicines. This nice representative comes and he gives me all these medicines and he gets 50% of the profit and I get 50% of the profit and you're sick, you have a pain in your thumb, very serious. You better get admittance for 7 days. We have a new hospital we can go to. We're building more and more hospitals so that you can be sick in more and more different ways and we'll cure you for the small sum of 20,000 rupees. So please be sick. Please come to our hospital. We're very kind to you. So this is not anugraha. Even if a hospital is built, someone's getting better. But there's no hospital to cure people from death. That is real kindness. Therefore Arjuna is saying here, mat anugrahaya paramam. This is the real benefit. To be kind to someone is to get them free from death. If you're sick, of course you should go to a doctor. But you shouldn't think that simply someone who's putting bandages on or listening to your listening to your heartbeat, that is the topmost benefit. Nor is the topmost benefit to open school. This opening schools, that's simply training people how to become nice cogs in a big socio-economic machine meant for exploitation. Same thing, get a good job. Get a good job means you earn 6,000 rupees a month working like an ass. And the man who's employing you, he gets 60 lakhs out of the 6,000 rupees. He puts in 6,000 rupees and out of your expertise and know-how, he manipulates all that and he makes so much money. So, the real benefit is how to get free from birth and death. This is real benefit, to learn about this. Tad adhitam, tan nanyay adhitam uttamam. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was asked by his demoniac father, Hiranyakashipu, that what is the best thing you have learned? Because Prahlad was a small boy going to school. So Prahlad gave him an answer which he wasn't expecting. He was expecting some answer, how to cheat others, because that was what he was being taught. He was a king's son, and he was being taught politics. Sam, Ved, Dana, Danda. How to bring people under control. First of all, bring people, talk to them. If someone's your enemy, he's making politics, call him, try to make some compromise. After all, let's be friends. If that doesn't work, Ved, divide and rule. Dan, give him some bribe. Look, just leave off your... I'll make you a minister. Or Danda. Doesn't work, kill him. Or throw him in prison. So this is politics. And Hiranyakashipu was very interested to hear from Prahlad Maharaj, his son, have you learned all these nice things at school? How to kill people, how to torture people, how to exploit them. Prahlad Maharaj gave him the reply. He may have thought, well, that's not very good. Maybe the topmost learning is engineering. Or medicine. Today is the down on the medics day, so we see who are medical students, they're usually very proud. Oh, I'm studying medicine, not engineering, I'm studying medicine. Because I'm the topmost student. So Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't think that was the topmost learning. He said, what is the topmost learning? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasivanam. Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, Iti Pumsarpita Vishno, Bhakti Shchin Navalakshanam, Creator Bhagavat Yatha, Tanmanye Dhitam Uttamam. This, in my opinion, Prahlad Maharaj said, this is the topmost learning. How to hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna, Smaranam, Padasevanam, worship the lotus feet of Krishna. How to worship Krishna in the temple, offer prayers to him, become his servant, become his friend, offer everything to him. These nine processes of devotional service, this constitutes the topmost learning. Srila Prabhupada, our guru, he was very interested in schools, education. He said that this Bombay center should be an educational institute. What is the education? Teaching people how to chant Hare Krishna, dance, take prasadam and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So we may think, well, what's that? Better I go to IIT, then you can learn many complicated things. So then you see people are reading the book. And you look at the book, it's all Greek, and some mathematics and physics. And must be very intelligent to read it. No doubt. We're not saying it's not intelligent, but it's misplaced intelligence. Because it doesn't relate to the topmost goal of life. First time I went to Russia, I met one devotee. He was studying in the university in Moscow. So I asked him, what is your university course? What are you studying? He said, electronic systems for intercontinental missiles. So, no doubt you have to be very intelligent, because if you do the wrong thing, just like sometimes the Americans, they made their calculations wrong, and when they lit their space rocket, when they sent it up, instead of going up, it just burned up right, instead of burning and taking them out into space, or wherever they're supposed to be going, it just burned up on the spot. Or sometimes they make a mistake, just like that Three Mile Island mistake. Little mistakes. And there was so much nuclear, or that better example, Ukraine, Chernobyl. Some mistake, big intelligent scientists making nuclear power, some mistake, and half the world, most of Europe is polluted by nuclear fallout. So you have to be intelligent to study these things, no doubt. It requires a lot of intelligence. But what is the ultimate purpose? What is that intelligence directed towards? That intelligence is directed, however great your nuclear missile may be, it's not going to save you from death. They have this whole idea. Defense ministry. Defense means how to make tanks bombs, guns, chemical weapons, nuclear weapons, how to fight with others, how to attack others. But however much you attack them, even if, of course now America and Russia, for the time being at least, they're not thinking of fighting with each other so much. But even if one side makes an intercontinental missile, and the other one makes an anti-missile, the other one makes an anti-anti-missile, and the other one makes an anti-anti-anti-missile, and like this, they have an anti-anti-anti, and they have a big fireworks display. And one, they're all meeting, then they have Star Wars and so many things. But anyway, you're going to die. Whether you die from an American missile on your head, or you die from slipping on the street, or you die from the cold in Russia, it's damn cold there in the winter. It's really, I mean, Delhi gets cold, but it's a lot colder there. Whatever you die from just old age. You're going to die. So, whatever you do, that's not the highest education. The highest education is that which takes you beyond birth and death. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing about Krishna, that is the topmost education, to hear about Krishna. Why? Because by hearing about Krishna, you'll get free from birth and death. You might think, well, it's not so much intelligent. You all you have to do is sit and hear and hear how Krishna is creating the material world. That also requires intelligence. It's not that there's not intelligence. This is a big myth that bhakti is only for foolish people. It's a fact that bhakti is so nice, it's natural. Just like breathing is natural. You don't say breathing is only for intelligent people. Breathing is for everybody. So, bhakti is for everybody because it's natural. It's just like it's for everybody. Having family relationships or friends, it's not for intelligent people or for less intelligent people, it's for all people because it's natural. So our relationship with Krishna, that is natural, therefore it's for everybody. It's for same thing, relationships with other people, whether you have a master's degree in socio-psychology and you study what relationships are, or whether you, just like everybody, they have their husband, wife, whatever, and they have some kind of relationship, whether it's good, bad, or mixed, whatever. But some kind of relationship is there. Whether you study it or not, it's a natural thing. So in the same way, our love for Krishna, it's a natural thing. We're all spirit souls. Krishna is the supreme spirit soul. Our love for Him is natural. So whether you're a simple person without much education, and you like, you chant Hare Krishna in kirtan, or whether you're a big philosopher, you can study that also. Actually, bhakti is for the most intelligent people. If you're really intelligent, then you should put your intelligence to study this. Because practically we see that what level of intelligence was there for studying bhakti, nowadays people, they don't have so much intelligence. Just like previously, great acharyas, they used to walk village to village in this land. Nowadays, if you go into villages, you don't find much educated people. The educated people are all in the cities. But in those days, there were hardly any towns anyway. Now urbanization is there. Everywhere, all the village people are coming to the cities. Big, big cities are coming up. Small towns are turning into big towns. Villages are all becoming urbanized. But previously, not only in India, all over the world, it was village life. And in India, every village, there were pandits, people who studied Shastra. That's why you see Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They traveled all over India and preached. So you may say, how could they preach? Because nowadays, if someone goes from UP to Tamil Nadu, they can't speak with the people. If they start speaking Hindi, they'll punch them in the face because they don't like Hindi. If they're speaking Tamil, you have to speak in our language. Or English. You have to speak in English. You tell a UP wala you should speak in English, they don't like. No, they're not Hindi. So what were they doing? They were speaking in Sanskrit. Sanskrit was the national language. Everyone spoke in Sanskrit. Nowadays, hardly anyone can speak Sanskrit. Even Panditaha na Vadanti. Even the pundits, they don't speak. They only read. They don't have practice to speak. Because why? Because it's a very difficult language. You have to be very intelligent even to speak Sanskrit. Nowadays people, they don't know. They speak some rough Hindi.
अब क्या करते हैं राजी बॉम्बे दे रहे हैं से आप मेरा भैया बोल रहा हूँ तुम क्या करते हो इस रफ मराठी idiom sounds good. Who's going to speak? Oh, that requires great intelligence. Nowadays, people, they don't have so much intelligence. It's very fine intelligence is required. And Sanskrit is the language of philosophy. So they were speaking philosophy. Those days, just like Madhvacharya was going speaking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what philosophy they were speaking. Nowadays, people, they can't understand. They were speaking on the Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, even one verse of Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. What is this? Atato. This means now, therefore. That just to analyze this, what is the meaning of now? The Soma, you'll find the commentaries, pages and pages of philosophy. Then the next point, Janmadhyasa Yataha. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates, in which everything rests, in which everything enters into. That is the subject to be known. That is called Brahma. Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayamti abhisamvishanti tad vijigyasasva tad brahmeti. This is the subject of the Upanishads. What is the absolute truth? So this is this, so much discussion will be there on very fine points of philosophy, which nowadays people, they can't imagine. Why? People are living a very rough life. The way they talk, the way they dress, the food they eat, the place they live in, even the education is not for developing our finer sentiments. The kind of education we have, it makes us into, maybe some kind of intelligence is there, but it's intelligence in the lower modes of material nature, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. So it covers our finer sentiments. By such education, instead of awakening our spiritual sentiments, which are natural for developed human beings, by such education we think, oh, there's no God, which is most unintelligent. What? Not only is there no God, no. Why should we think about such things? I'm not interested. Why don't you think, if you have such a big brain, that what is the source of everything? How is everything going on? People are so much proud of their intelligence, but you don't think, where has that intelligence come from? You may have a great brain, just like Dr. Radha Krishna. He was such a big brain, famous as a philosopher. But at the end of his life, he became just like a vegetable. He couldn't think, he couldn't talk. He lost all his intelligence. He became completely dull. So, he didn't think. He used to say, there's no such person as Krishna. So in the end, Krishna showed that yes, there is such a person as Krishna, and whatever intelligence you have, that is coming from me, and I'll take it away also. We don't think. We have so much faith in our own abilities, but we don't consider, where has that ability come from? We're so proud, I'm intelligent. How did you become intelligent? That is given by God. So why don't you use your intelligence to understand God? But modern education makes us so dull-brained. Oh, no God. No, it's not very important. It's important we'll go to some Bon Jovi concert and jump like a monkey. This is important because we are modern and progressive and we have to imitate every nonsense thing that the Americans do. And this is very intelligent. This means people are not at all intelligent. And you can see that, how people are not intelligent, the way they simply follow. Just simply follow, just like animals. You see, if there's a group of goats, You push one in and all the rest will follow. They don't think why I should follow. Even they're being taken to slaughter. But oh, he went, I should also go. So the same thing, everyone's doing fashion. Fashion means a group of fashion designers, the cloth, the textile merchants, the big people, they get together every 3 months. They plan out the next 2 years' fashion. And they're, okay, for 3 months we'll do this, then we'll change it to that. And then we'll change, and we'll promote by advertising. So, if you're not wearing the modern fashion, then you're out of fashion, according to what they're saying. So every 3 months you have to buy new clothes, and it's good business for them. This way you're saying, what is the new music, and what should you do, and everything is dictated, especially this now modern media. Now we have, coming to India, the wonders of TV, foreign TV. How wonderful. All the rubbish things in the West are in your home. And you can follow, and people simply follow. They don't think, why? Why am I doing this? Why should I simply follow? Why should I simply become totally materialistic and weak? It's just simply they follow. That means people are not intelligent. Real intelligence means to think very deeply about the purpose of life, try to understand who we are, who is God? Is there God? We may question, is there God? This is an important question. You should at least think. Don't say, oh, I'm not interested. You should at least think. Why are you not interested? All the great leaders of civilization, they have all been religious leaders, philosophical leaders. It's not that, you see, politicians come and go. Just like you have this Chandrasekhar. Who even thinks of him nowadays? Prime Minister, then Charan Singh. Can anyone remember Charan Singh? No, he was Prime Minister. He was Prime Minister. Now he's great. Nehru was such a big name. Gone. So many Prime Ministers, they come and go. Politicians come and go. But what is really shaping civilization, or whatever they call it, civilization, what is shaping human society is the ideas which are put out by different people. Just like the Marxist idea that had so much influence on human society for some time. But because it was based on a wrong concept, a misunderstanding, that human life is meant for exploiting the resources of nature. So, why should the capitalists exploit it all? Let's share it all out between us. So it's based on a misconception, therefore, collapsed. So the real proper ideas, they've been given by those who know God, those who are messengers of God, and by God Himself, speaking Bhagavad Gita. Of course, it may be said, well, religion has so many bad effects in society. That's not true at all. Misuse, misunderstanding of religion, that may have bad effects. But the real questions which are being given and answered, who am I, who is God, what is my relationship with Him, that is given especially in the Vedic literature. Because Ved means knowledge. It's not my opinion, someone's opinion. I think this, I think that. In my opinion, what does it matter what your opinion is? Who are you? You're a tiny little speck in a tiny little planet, in a tiny little universe. I think, in my opinion. So many different opinions. And they call this science. What they call science, it's only someone's opinion. Why is that? It's not science means it should be factual. But they simply have someone's opinion based on some research, and you find after some time someone else comes up with another opinion, and all the scientists know this is a new fashion. Now we have, before we thought, I just saw in the paper a few days ago, before we thought Jupiter was like this, but now we sent a spacecraft and we took photos, and now our opinion changed because we have new photos. And then they'll send some other thing and they'll take some more photos, and then their opinion will change again. So it's not science, it's simply some speculation based upon imperfect data. And even if you have all the perfect data, you may get your opinions wrong. Just like there are so many different theories, even in science, so many different theories. Even big scientists, some they say God created the world in 7 days. So many scientists in America, because the Bible says, they follow. But others say no, we don't believe that. There are different theories. How the world came into existence. So it's all different opinions. But Ved is not someone's opinion based on their tiny intelligence. Ved means fact, knowledge, that which is a fact. That's why we see that the Vedic knowledge, it doesn't have to be revived every few days. Just like if you go to your biology or any examination nowadays, you study, you take your exam, if you come back 20 years later, you'll find it's all different. I know, because I did. Then I came, there was one question, describe the cell. So I was taught that cells are very simple organisms, and within a few years we'll be able to synthesize them in the laboratory. So I wrote that in my exam and I passed. Now if I wrote the same thing, I'd fail. Because by more research, they found that even the simplest cell is more complex than the most complex city. So, same thing, you're studying something now, 20 years later, it will all be wrong. Another thing is, this was some years ago, that Voyager 2 spacecraft, they say they send it outside our solar system. What they're doing, I don't know. Maybe they're all cheating, there's no spacecraft going at all. Who knows what they're doing? But anyway, they say that, they say, so the head of NASA said that, oh, based on these photos, everything we know about astronomy, all our theories have to be revised. So that means that everyone who has PhD, Nobel Prize, who's studying at the university, whatever they're studying, it's all bogus. Because all they've discovered, that whatever they thought was right was all wrong. Some years ago, it was at, there was the, what's that they have every year, the Indian Science Congress or something in different places. They have a meeting of all the scientists. So I was distributing our books there, one book, Life Comes from Life. So I met one professor, he was from Rajkot, but he was quite a big shot in the scientific world. He traveled all over the world to these different conferences. They invited him to speak. So he asked me, what's the subject of this book? I said, this book explains that evolutionary theory is all bogus. And he said, well, everyone knows that. So I asked him, well, why are you still teaching in the schools and colleges? He said, well, we didn't think of anything else to say yet, so we have to teach something. So we're still teaching evolutionary theory, even though we know that all the evidence is against it. It plainly told me that we're cheating people. Because they don't have any, they know by their research that evolutionary theory, of course, there are diehard scientists who say that they believe in it anyway. Although there's massive evidence to show that, or rather there's massive lack of evidence to show that there is, that evolution ever took place. But anyway, as, who was that, Einstein said that? No, maybe, I can't remember, some, one of those big shot scientists. He said that scientific theories, they don't change by evidence being put. What happens is one generation of scientists die out, and the next generation who got the different facts, they take it up. Because whatever people learn in their youth, they take it through their life, even if all the evidence goes against it. So this is so-called modern education. It's just myths, cheating, and anyway, it's completely devoid of substance. Substance means to understand what is the goal of life, how to attain it, who is God, why are we suffering in this world, how to get free from suffering eternally, how to get free from death. This is the subject of the Vedas. This is the subject of Krishna Katha. This is the subject of Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't change. It's not that Prahlad Maharaj spoke some millions of years ago, because there wasn't evolution. Millions of years ago, there were not simply monkeys jumping around that evolved into human beings, but there were highly intelligent people like Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj, he spoke Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Tan Manye Adhitam Uttamam. This is the topmost learning. It hasn't changed. It's not that now we should do something else. Nowadays, instead of hearing and chanting about Krishna, we should do gymnastics, and that is the topmost education. Or we should learn some new thing, how to stand on your head and wiggle your toes in the air. This is the topmost, because it's the new fashion. No, what is fact doesn't change. What is reality doesn't change. Therefore, real science means to study Vedic knowledge, because it is factual, it is given as it is. It's not, it doesn't have to be revised, like the so-called science books have to be revised every few days. Because the knowledge is there, what is a fact doesn't change. Not necessary to revise. Even if you want to study material things, you see the Vedas. Ved means knowledge. It's not only Upanishads, Gita. All knowledge is there. Just like they're discovering different planets by telescopes. But the planet, already the names are there. You see, what are the names of the days of the week? Ravi, Sam, Mangal, Bud, Guru, Shukra, Shani. So these are all the names of the different planets. So how is it these names are coming from Sanskrit language, kind of like thousands and millions of years? So that was known already. There are so many different things you take, just like the word Vimana, aircraft. It's not that the Wright brothers invented air travel. It was already there, although they had Pushpa Vimana, which was powered by mantra. That is a subtle science. If one is very pure, that means, if he's very pure, means that he's free from material contamination, he follows rules of purity. Just like you see the Brahmanas, they used to be very careful to be clean. No one would have the attached bathroom. They're very attached to attached bathrooms. But for cleanliness and purity, which is hygienic, it's the bathroom where you pass, that should be a long distance away from where you live. So they're very careful at all levels, at gross level, subtle level, to maintain purity. So that when they, by purity of body, mind, and words, when they chanted, they could, by this power of sound, they could manipulate the gross matter. So by mantras, they could do so many different things, just like Pushpavimala is powered by sound. Now this science is lost, if you say, we don't believe it. Because they don't know such subtle science. Now you have to have an aircraft with kerosene polluting the whole atmosphere and time to time crashing and killing everybody. But Pushpavimala, that is powered by mantra. There's no question of crashing. People knew what they were doing. So Viman is there. Then we're so proud, we're talking about atomic science. But that's already there in the Vedas. The word is there. Paramanu, knowledge is there. Measurement of time is there. Measurement of time is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. The smallest measurement is the time it takes one paramanu to move over another. That is the smallest measurement of time. And the great, and that goes right up to the measurement of universal time. They can say exactly how long the universe is existing. And knowledge of relativity is there, just like it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that 1 year on the planet of Lord Brahma, because that is a higher planet, which is further away from the sun, long distance. Therefore, 1 year there is much longer than 1 year here. There's different times according to the movements of the planets. So all the knowledge is there. Of course, they didn't go into such detail, because not necessary. Just like by study, you may find out that the grass is going like this. But whether you know or not exactly what is the reaction of sunlight with chlorophyll and water and so many different things. But anyway, the grass is growing, whether you analyze it or not. So the grass is growing, you feed it to the cow, cow gives milk, you offer it to Krishna and you drink it. You don't have to know how the chlorophyll, the sunlight, simply you know how to grow the crops. The village people, they know. You put the rice in. At this season you have to plant this kind of rice. You have to plant it and you have to transplant it. This kind of rice goes with plenty in water and this one should be a little dry. They know these things. It's been going on for thousands, millions of years. You don't need such so much research in different things. That research, that should be directed towards the purpose of life. That is the real use of intelligence, to understand what is the purpose of life, who is God, what is my relationship with Him. Even if we study all the different details of the universe, at the end of life, what will it benefit us? This we should consider. The first use of intelligence should be to see what is the proper subject of study. Otherwise we see so many different books being written about so many different things. Now I saw last year they had the Guinness Book of Modern Music. They had a big, thick book about all these different rock singers, rap singers, jazz musicians, so many different things of music, modern music styles. So someone with so much endeavor made this big, big book about all these useless, foolish people. So that is a misuse of intelligence. And there are so many things. You see, TV. How much intelligence is required? It's been developed over so many years, all the different tubes in the TV, and now they have satellite. So what are they showing? Mickey Mouse. So much intelligence, so many intelligent people to show Mickey Mouse, or to show some cricket game in Sharjah, where some grown men are running around after a ball. Someone's throwing a ball, someone's hitting it with a piece of wood, and someone's ball is very good. So, and it's coming live on TV. So much intelligence is used for what? So the first thing should be to see what the first use of intelligence is, to see how should we shall direct our intelligence? Otherwise, we remain foolish. Abodajata. We are born ignorant. Children are foolish and ignorant. Abodajata. Parabhavastavat abodajata. But if we remit yavanya jigyasata atmatattvam, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, very good instruction, that the mission of life is defeated as long as we remain abodajata. Means everyone is born foolish. A child is just like an animal. It doesn't know how to do anything. It's completely helpless, completely unintelligent. It means some intelligence is there, but misdirected, splayed out intelligence. So, if we don't develop from that stage of abodajata, then parabhava, our mission of life is defeated. Whether we develop our intelligence to make machines only, then we will still remain abodha. We're not thinking, what is the proper purpose of life? Yavanna jigyasata atma tattvam. As long as we don't inquire into the realities of life, what is the meaning of life, who is God, what is my relationship with Him, then the whole function of human life is simply wasted. So a whole modern society is simply a great exhibition of misdirected intelligence, whereby people are becoming more and more technically intelligent, and as it concerns the actual purpose of life, people are becoming more and more foolish. So this Hare Krishna land here is meant for giving education, not education how to put on a suit and tie, even though India is so hot and you sweat with a suit and tie, but you have to wear a suit and tie because people in America do. Not that kind of education, but the education how to get free from birth and death. And that also not a very very theoretical thing. People think if you write a big, big book, this thick, then that's very intelligent. But we can give you the answer immediately. Yes, the goal of life is to understand Krishna. You should do that by chanting His holy names and engaging in devotional service. But because we are addicted to this analytical method, therefore we have big books. You don't believe it? Here, take this. Read this. Then you come back. You consider. We have so many books. Of course, that's also not just for technical knowledge, but that is a great pleasure for the devotees to hear about Krishna. So this center is meant for real education. That education, which materialistic education simply means frustration. That's all. For all your so-called advancement, everyone is simply frustrated, bored, useless life, ubjate, fed up, what is this life? So, how to get real enlightenment? Hear about Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. That is the knowledge which appeals not only to the mind and the intellect, but appeals to the soul, which is our very being. Hare Krishna, is there any question?
So as you said in the scientific world, we have to mentally speculate certain things.
Yes, yes. Mentalists, yes. Scientists are very proud of that, that word, speculation. Yes, this is my speculation. They're very